The Morning Rush podcast is brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up with Bud Light for game days and check out Budweiser's limited edition Freedom Reserve. Please drink responsibly.
They're going to run and get that boot.
This game's still alive and the Hawks have a first down.
Who wants to talk football?
It's Ronnie Wingo, number 20. Touchdown, Arkansas.
They talked the bar.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast.
I walk out of my apartment. You know, it's 4:30 in the morning or 5 o'clock in the morning or 5:30 in the morning. Just when, you know, whenever I actually decide to leave my apartment to come to work. I usually, just during this time of year, I'm freezing. I'm mad. I feel like it's just the world is caving. It gets so dark. It just seems like it's all bad. And I walk out this morning and I'm like, I'm wearing shorts today. And I'm not going to apologize for it. I'm completely fine with it. But we're sitting here in the early goings of January. And I don't know what's going on with this. It's scary. That's how you get sick. I don't know if that means that there's this horrible storm that's coming. I don't know. But it is weird how warm it is outside, especially at 5 o'clock in the morning like it was this morning.
All I can say is enjoy it while it lasts, because it will not last. It probably means in like May we're going to be wearing coats still. And Mother Nature will remind us. Remember those days in January I gave you that felt like May? Well, now it's going to feel like January and May.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. There's going to be something
that's how
that
it works here in the natural state.
Yeah. I mean, you never know what to expect when it comes to the weather. It's just so unpredictable. But it was definitely unpredictable right now. And that's the thing is, like, some people, when they don't want to commit back to shorts or wearing short sleeves or whatever because it's wintertime and they know it's going to go away in a second. But I'm not that person. I will find excuses to wear shorts. And so I have an excuse today. It'll probably be the only day I'm allowed to do it, or at least I can finally get away with it. But I'm going to enjoy this weather while it lasts. I'm going to go and I'm going to do outdoor things. I want to walk my dog Rowdy around the whole apartment complex. I'm going to go and maybe even like wash my car, something like that. I mean, it's got to take advantage of these opportunities. But it's such a weird time and has been warm the past couple of days. But like you said, looking at the weather forecast going on later this week, it's going to turn right back around and feel like January for us once again. So, but definitely a crazy thing there.
We might need to find a patio, an outdoor viewing place for tonight's football game.
That's right.
It might be nice enough to watch some of the game outside tonight.
Yeah, I know. Which, how many times can you say that, hey, let's watch the national championship game outside?
Right.
We usually have it going on when it's so warm outside. So, no, it should be exciting. And obviously, we're going to talk about the national championship game and, you know, the Razorback basketball game. Of course, hey, they start off 1-0 in SEC play.
Yeah,
it wasn't the prettiest of games.
They did everything they could to lose it, didn't they?
It certainly did, man. It seemed like every time, and I don't know if it's just how, I think it's how basketball is, but it also seems how this team is too, especially, is that anytime they look like they're finally going to pull away, that they're finally going to just put it in coast mode and get out of there with an easy, convincing victory, never happens that way. It can't happen that way. It's impossible for it to happen that way. They have to keep you on the edge of your seat. They have to give you a heart attack, nicknamed the Heart Attack Hogs, pretty much in every single sport, it seems like. But hey, a win is a win is a win at the end of the day, and especially in SEC play on the road, regardless of who the opponent is, especially in the SEC opener against the A&M Aggies. That's a nice victory for Arkansas and a good 1-0 start heading into Florida this week.
There's no such thing as a bad road win in conference play.
Nope.
Absolutely. And Arkansas, while had, as you perfectly described it, had a chance to make this a little less intense down the stretch, they couldn't make their free throws. And Arkansas, for the game, it doesn't look pretty on paper, 11 of 22. But more importantly, what was it? About the last 50 seconds or so of the game, they had six looks from the free throw line and made one. And your point guard, Jalen Harris, who was an assist away from a double-double, 15 points, 9 assists, was 0 for 4 at the free throw line. So those are the, you know, sometimes you can be 11 of 22, and that's not the story. It's the fact that you went 3 of 4, 4 for 4 in the last minute when A&M, in this case, was fouling you to stop the clock to get more opportunities, to get possessions back. And, you know, as Chuck Barrett described on the radio, you're going to win the game if you make the free throws. And Arkansas won the game in spite of not making their free throws. A&M had a heave at the basket from beyond half court that if it went in, they win the game.
Yep.
And fortunately, that low percentage shot did not make it.
Yeah, I mean, it's Jalen Harris goes 6 of 11 from the free throw line. Yeah. I mean, and which is like, okay, so obviously he makes them, but not just not late down the stretch.
But those are the ones that count the most.
That's right. That's when you need them the most. So, I mean, you had that. Adrian Bailey, 1 of 3. Daniel Gafford, 1 of 2. Isaiah Joe, 2 of 4. I mean, just you got guys that you feel like have been able to make some free throws. And Jalen Harris, statistically, has been one of the best free throw shooters for Arkansas this year, one of the few. But like you said, you have to make them when they count. And that's just kind of bothersome because obviously you get the victory in this game. But, geez, you're going to have situations, especially in the SEC and especially on the road against much better teams than what Texas A&M is, where if you don't make those free throws, you lose the game. And we've already seen free throws cost Arkansas this season. We see them cost the game against Texas or the game against Western Kentucky, where they were really close games and they still lost. And there were probably some other plays you could point to that they could have made the difference. But when it comes down to it, you look at it and say, hey, if you make your free throws, you win the game, you get out of there, and it's a completely different outlook for the season. Because just imagine how different it would be if this team was sitting at 12-1 with 1-0 in conference play instead of 10-3. So, you know, there's still a lot of games to be played, but we've talked about it all last week about how this game for Arkansas, you hate to use the term must win, but it was essentially a must win because of how the SEC schedule is set up. Your toughest games are on the road if you're Arkansas, and you got to get the ones that are given to you, or at least in the ones that are going to be the easier ones to win, because let's be honest, it doesn't really matter who Arkansas plays at Bud Walton Arena. You always feel like you got a puncher's chance because it's at Bud Walton Arena. But what matters in this conference and as a team and the NCAA tournament and in the eyes of the tournament committee, if they see that you are winning road games in conference play, that's enough that's going to be able to make them consider you to be in the NCAA tournament, assuming that your record is really good as well.
All right, we talk about free throw shooting, 11 for 22, and that was a story, and certainly the ones down the stretch, as we mentioned, 1 for 6. But how about just shooting in general? 37%. It was about the same in each half, 36 in the first half, 38 in the second half. John, this game reminded me, at least the first half, and maybe it's just because of the score, halftime score in this Arkansas game. Arkansas led A&M 32-31. Reminded me, and I was commenting with some guys I was watching the game with, this is like Georgia Tech. This was not a game Arkansas should have won on paper, being 32-31 at the half. This is not the kind of pace, and Arkansas couldn't control the pace in this game, and A&M's defense, give them some credit for keeping Arkansas down, but 37% shooting and to come out with a win on the road is pretty remarkable.
Oh, I know, and that's what kind of makes it even a better feeling when Arkansas is able to pull that off, because it's not like they just went in and shot lights out. It was that they struggled a little bit. They had to get hit with some adversity. They kept a lead the entire game, essentially. I know it was back and forth, but they had a lead at halftime, and then, of course, they ended up winning at the game because it was such a close game and such a back and forth. I think 16 lead changes in this matchup. I mean, that's just unheard of. So it was a back and forth game. And, yeah, despite not having a great shooting, and that was the thing, too, is like three-point shooting was another factor until the very end. It's almost like, hey, you can't make your free throws at the very end of the game, but you can make your three-pointers because Mason Jones goes out there, hits three in a row, yet Isaiah Joe hit another one where the three-point shooting was really abysmal there for most of the game. And so in clutch situations, you can hit three, but you can't hit the free throws, which is kind of ironic.
Now, give Arkansas some credit as well. A&M, Arkansas's defense limited A&M. They were 41% for the floor, so not much better.
Yeah.
I thought the big stat for A&M, 5 of 24 from downtown. Their three-point shooting was brutal, 20% shooting for the game. And 1 of 9 in the first half included in that stat. To me, they shot their way out of it to some degree when you go 5 of 24.
Yeah, and you also look at the rebounds. Arkansas actually out-rebounded Texas A&M, which hasn't happened much this year where Arkansas has been able to out-rebound a team. But I think that also played a factor into it as well.
Yeah, 47 rebounds for the Hogs. Here's the big number. 17 of those were offensive boards.
Mm-hmm.
So that was big for Arkansas, who struggled with second-chance points. Box score I'm looking at doesn't have second-chance points on it, but you got to feel like when you get 11 or 17 offensive boards, you got to pretty good chance of getting some good looks, putting it back.
Yeah, and you also feel like since this was an ugly game, at least it looked like an ugly game for the most part, you would think, okay, there'd been a lot of turnovers. Actually, each team only turned the ball over 8 times. So, I mean, you can't even chalk it up to that. Yeah. But either way, it comes down to just getting wins on the road in SEC play. And this is something I was saying to some people on Twitter, is that they were talking about the issues that were going on, of course, with the free throw shooting and all that stuff. Like, listen, when the end of the season comes around and you got that committee that's getting around their little table with their papers and pencils and all that and looking over people's rankings and what they've done, They will not go back to Arkansas if they're considering them in the NCAA tournament. So you're like, well, you know, they beat A&M, but yeah, that free throw shooting wasn't that good in that game. They're just going to look at that W. And that's what's going to matter the most, is you got the win on the road. Now, the rest of the SEC schedules, especially that seems like it's very front heavy for Arkansas, where they have some of their toughest games in the early going of the SEC slate. But this week, they have Florida at home. Now, Florida is one of those teams that they're always a team that is pretty good. I mean, they're 8-5 right now, 0-1 in conference play to start off. As they lost to South Carolina, which was at home, of all things, so wasn't a good game for them.
South Carolina is one of those teams picked near the bottom of the league, so that was kind of a surprising loss for Florida. I mean, we had a couple of those, and I don't know how surprised you are that Alabama lost on the road. Alabama beat Kentucky, and Kentucky lost on the road, but there were a few surprising outcomes in the league on Saturday.
Yeah, and you know what wasn't surprising was the way that Tennessee dominated Georgia. I mean, just beat them by like 45 points or whatever it was. So, I mean, they just wrecked them. So the reason I brought that up, though, is because Florida, this isn't your old-school Billy Donovan Florida team. They've obviously had some struggles this year. So if you're Arkansas, that's a game that, you know, if you win that one, and you should win it, you have LSU come to Bud Walton Arena after that, which looks like you probably should win that game. Not to say LSU's a bad team, but they're pretty solid, but still it's at home. And that you could be realistically 3-0 in conference play heading into Knoxville against the number 3 Tennessee Volunteers, which I don't think you're going to win that game no matter what. So, hey, if you can start 3-0 though and then lose that one still, I think you're still in really good shape going forward. And that's the kind of start that Arkansas should have given how good their team is and having these two home games against very winnable opponents as well.
Yeah, because we were discussing last week that if you don't win this A&M game, you could realistically be out to a 1-5 start in league play. And now we're talking about, isn't that amazing how the first win and really any win changes your whole perspective on what the season can be and how it can unfold? Because I promise you, if we're sitting here 0-1, if that half court shot went in, or just a number of things could have happened at the end and A&M wins the game, your perspective on the outlook for the remaining 17 league games is not real strong right now.
No.
And now we're talking about, well, you know, they could be 3-0 going to Tennessee, and it just, you know, you wouldn't even give yourself a chance against Florida.
Arkansas's home for the best sports talk. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Adams with it at the 45. Adams skip it. Adams gets outside. Watch out. Hits the sideline. The Jet. Touchdown, Arkansas.
So the national championship game is tonight in college football, Alabama and Clemson. I could spend an entire show talking about my issues of why the college football national championship is on a Monday night, especially when it's played at 7 p.m., especially when you have a morning sports talk show to do where you wake up at 4:30, but that's just personally my beef. I know it's not my What's Your Beef Wednesday, but still, it's tonight. And you have it between Alabama and Clemson being played at Levi's Stadium there in Santa Clara, California, such also a weird venue. But we talked a little bit about that last week, of how the ticket sales are different. But it's just amazing that here we are after all of the great games, the great matchups, the teams that came out of nowhere, the teams that were expected to be good, some of the great games in college football, we end up with a national championship, the same type of national championship game that we've had three of the past 4 years. And these teams have met every single year in the past 4 years, at least in the college football playoff at some point, because last year they played in the semifinal. And, you know, I've been looking at this game, and I've been looking at a lot of these players and kind of breaking it down. Alabama's favored by 4.5 points at this point, which without a doubt is the closest line that they've had all season long. I think we all can understand that. But I've been trying to go through it, and this is what's weird. After all of that, and after I've seen Alabama play and I've seen Clemson play, I just have this feeling that Clemson's going to win tonight. I can't explain it. I can't just sit here and point to this is why right here they're going to win the game. But I don't know. There's just something where we've seen it so many times, Tommy, where teams have been so dominant, and especially in college sports, but where they have been so dominant throughout the regular season, throughout the postseason, but when they get to the biggest game that matters the most, there's just something happens. I always think back to when the New England Patriots in 2007 went on that run where they were dominating NFL teams. Their offense was scoring at will. Tom Brady had 50 touchdown passes. Randy Moss had over 20 touchdown receptions. They were just unstoppable, it seemed like, until they met the New York Giants in the wild card, team that made it to the Super Bowl. I think back to when Kentucky had that team that was undefeated going into the Final Four. They were just destroying folks. They were going to win 40 games. Everyone thought that they were going to get to that 40-game win mark. Well, they ran into a team. I don't know if it was matchups. I don't know if it was fatigue. I don't know if it was reading headlines or whatever, but just something happened. And it just seems like anytime you have a team that's really dominant throughout the whole season, when they get to that particular game, especially against a team that may match up pretty well against them, like Clemson may match up well against Alabama, at least as well as you could possibly have a team match up. I don't know. I just get that same feeling. So there may be no correlation. There may be no direct correlation, at least with it. But it just, I have that feeling where tonight Clemson may find a way to win.
See, I've got the same feeling. But until you said, you know, the way Clemson matches up, you said with this dominant team, I wasn't sure which team you're talking about because both have been pretty dominant this year.
Right, right.
Both are undefeated, but I do think Alabama's season has been more impressive the way they've arrived to this point at what now, 14-0 at this point.
Yeah.
So I agree with you, and I've said the same thing. You know, everybody, you know, you've talked to about this game, every conversation goes, well, who do you think wins? What do you think happens? And I've kind of said, I think Clemson gets them.
Yeah.
And that's just kind of how I felt about it, just based on the idea that of some of the things you just laid out there. And Alabama just has not played well for four full quarters in their last two games.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing that concerns me right now. If Clemson can figure out how to handle number 92 up front for Alabama and how to deal with that defensive line that Bama brings that can control things, they're going to have a good chance to win this game. And I'm very interested to see how Trevor Lawrence plays tonight against this Alabama defense. That to me is going to be one of the more intriguing things to see unfold in this game, whether the true freshman can step up and make it happen on the biggest stage in college football, or whether the moment's too big for him. I'm very interested in that matchup tonight.
Well, we have a no drug policy here at Pearson Broadcasting, right? Just want to clarify that. That's the thing, Thomas. So I don't know what you are smoking. What statistic can you look at true freshman quarterbacks that have done anything against Nick Saban? Like, guys, I have.
He's not a true freshman at this point, though. Let me just borrow the cliche.
Tommy, this is the biggest stage of his career. I know he performed well against Notre Dame, but this is Alabama in a national championship game.
No, you're
Nick
right.
Saban, I know the defense isn't as good as it's been in year past, but Tommy, John, you too. It's a true freshman quarterback. Like, I want to be all in on this game, I want to be all in on Clemson. But it's a true freshman quarterback going against Nick Saban. The statistics don't lie. He mauls these guys. When they enter this game in any category, and you could say Johnny Manziel, redshirt freshman, any true freshman quarterback that goes against Nick Saban gets eaten alive. And you want to tell me, do you think Clemson's going to win tonight?
I don't think it's going to come down to just their offense. I think it's going to be defensively with Clemson's
without front. Dexter Lawrence.
Yeah. I still think
first team all ACC.
Listen, he's a great player. And again, I'm not sitting here saying that Clemson's going to for sure just roll over this team and Alabama's not going to be able to perform well. I think that you're going to have a hard fought game. But I think, and this is just going off of history, when you've had teams like this, no matter the sports, no matter the league, no matter what, where they've been so dominant throughout the whole season, and Tommy brought up how they haven't played that well, they
played to their standard the last couple of games for four quarters.
Exactly, and Clemson's kind of the opposite, where they only beat Texas A&M by 2 points in the beginning of the year. They barely beat Syracuse there. They got away at the very early in the season, but in the past few games, I mean, check out these scores. Just looking at the past four games for Clemson, and I know the five games, I should say. Boston College, which was a ranked team on the road, beat them 27-7. Then 35-6 against Duke, 56-35 South Carolina, 42-10 against Pitt, and 30-3 against Notre Dame. They're playing as good as you could possibly ask them to play. And so I think it's a great matchup, and I think the familiarity of these teams going against each other, they've played each other. These coaches have gone up against each other four straight seasons. So I think that Dabo Swinney is as good of a coach as anybody else not named Nick Saban in college football. He might be the second best head coach right now that Urban Meyer's gone. And I don't know. There's just something about it where, and I agree with you, Ty, as far as true freshman quarterbacks, I think that it's going to be tough on Trevor Lawrence, especially given the circumstances. But I just feel like Alabama's offense is going to have some issues in this game.
And I'm not disagreeing with you.
I think we could all agree, though, it'll be a great game.
Yeah.
I think it'll
What was it last time? 45-40?
So I think
was the score.
Yeah.
I think that's right. And then And then the line
6 last year.
Last year, okay. I think the last time they played. Anyway, yeah. I know. Well, I guess it was 2 times ago. It was a 5-point game, and that's what the line is here again. So I really think that this is going to be either way a close game. But back to what you were just saying there a second ago, if Alabama was, you know, 13-1 at this point, or if Alabama was just another program, we would be talking about Clemson in the way we talk about Alabama. Their dominance and the way they have performed as a program the last 4 years only gets overshadowed a bit because of the way Alabama has been.
Yeah.
I mean, we know that they're playing for the 4th time in the college football playoff in either the semifinal or the championship game. I mean, that's just about as good as what Alabama's done, right? They just don't have, you know, so, I mean, they've been just about as dominant as Alabama has been.
Yeah, they've only lost Clemson's only lost 4 games the past 4 seasons. I mean, yeah, they, as far as dominance and as far as their, and that's where it comes down to, is because we all agree that there's no doubt that these are the 2 best teams in college football right now. And we're going to see some heavyweights go against each other. But, you know, It's hard to describe and it's hard to explain, but it's just given the circumstances of how I think Clemson has played. And I think the pressure is all on Alabama, too. I think there's pressure on both teams because it's the national championship, but I think there's more pressure on Alabama because of how dominant they've been, how well Tua has played. They've been in the spotlight the entire season. They've been highlighted. They've been saying that this offense is one of the greatest offenses we have seen. They were scoring it well against people, and I don't think that anyone's really looking at Clemson and saying, you know what, this is a better team than Alabama. And I would kind of look at them funny if they said that, but I think all the pressure's on Alabama in this game and not so much on Clemson.
And I agree go ahead, Tommy.
I'm gonna say, let me tell you the difference in this game versus any other game Alabama's played. Clemson's not afraid of them.
Yeah.
And I don't care what Oklahoma fans think or what any of these other teams say. Every one of those teams went in there hoping to beat Alabama, thinking they might be able to be out. Clemson's not afraid of them. What they expect to beat Alabama. Their mindset is much different than any other team Alabama's played at this point, and that's the difference in this game.
Yeah, because I think that, again, familiarity with this coaching staff and with a lot of these players, because you don't see that very often where 2 teams who have been as dominant as Alabama and Clemson, they've met 4 straight years. 4 straight years. And Alabama's 2-1 against them, and we'll see how it happens. In fact, Dabo Swinney even said that if they end up winning this game, then you may have to have a rubber match to see who actually wins the national championship next year as maybe a 5-game series. But it just seems like it's so perfectly set up for these 2 teams to go against each other, but also for Clemson to get a victory. Now, Dexter Lawrence, I think, is a factor, because if he was playing in this game, which I still think it's weird, and the whole storyline behind him of why he's not able to play, that would make a huge difference as well. But you know, I just feel like they're going to cause some problems for Alabama's offense, problems that they have not seen this year, which he said, we'll see how Trevor Lawrence goes. But
I mean, it's Cleveland Farrell, Austin Bryant. Like, they got some Wilkins. I mean, those are first-round draft picks. But, yeah. Like, Dexter Lawrence, first-team All-ACC, like, he clogs the middle. He makes an impact even when he doesn't make the tackle or sack.
And I'm not even going to use the Notre Dame game as an example, because we all know Notre Dame had no chance in that. They did not match up well. So let's go to the phone lines and get a quick phone call in. Scott is in Farmington. What's going on, Scott?
Yeah, I just talked to all of you guys, and this game tonight has that Texas-USC feel to it.
Yeah?
Where USC was just totally dominant. And everybody thought they were just going to roll over Texas, and the next thing you know, Texas wins.
Yeah, another great
answer. And that's kind of my opinion on it. But I'll take your comments off the air.
Yeah, appreciate it, Scott. Yo, I think that, there's a lot of games you can point to. It seems like, and I'm glad that we have 2 undefeated teams. When was the last time we had 2 undefeated teams in the national championship? Seems like it's been forever.
It's never been 2 14-0 teams ever meet in a national championship.
Right, because now with the playoff college football playoff, that helps with that extra game. But it's just been a while since we've had undefeated teams. Because even Alabama, as dominant as they've been, they've always had one slip-up, it seems like, every single year. And this year hasn't been the case. So there's going to be one team. I think it'll be the first time in the college football playoff era.
Subscribe to the show on iTunes. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Give is to Alex Collins straight up the middle. And Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas, 80 yards.
Let's go to the phone lines as we are now joined by Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Good morning, Tom. How was the weekend, my man?
Oh, man, it was a pretty good weekend. Got to move around a little bit, watch some NFL games, which were spectacular, including last night, and ready to kick off the week, man.
No, I hear. Hey, by the way, since you're a Falcons fan, is there a particular team now that you root for in the NFL playoffs, now that your Falcons aren't in it, obviously?
Yeah, hey, man, appreciate the reminder there.
Just letting you know.
We finished great, though. We won our last three, even though it cost us, draft position. We'll be good next year. I'm going to go Chiefs because they're local, and also Cowboys. I got a lot of friends who are Cowboys fans, so I wanted the Bears to beat the Eagles last night, but that game, I'm telling you, that game right there shows you the fine line between winning and losing, and so many referees' calls that are looked at, like the two-point conversion for the Eagles late in the game, is so close, I mean, an inch away, and what about that catch that was three steps, which should have been a reception, but the ball was pried out, and so since nobody recovered it, the whistles blew. They just had to erase the play, so to speak. Just crazy stuff. Yeah. But I wanted the Bears to win. They didn't, so a little bit ambivalent, but I'd say Chiefs and Cowboys at this point.
Well, Tom, let's back up to Saturday night. The Hogs get their first SEC win. They get it on the road at Texas A&M, improving to 10-3. It wasn't pretty down the stretch, but Arkansas found a way to win 73-71 at Texas A&M.
Didn't shoot very well throughout. The free throw shooting, it looked like they might give the game back away. Mm. And it was such a winnable game that if they had lost it, the frustration would have been great because you gave away an opportunity to win at a team that's struggling, still trying to kind of find an identity. But the most impressive thing, because you heard me last Thursday saying how concerned I was about rebounding, they won the board battle. So all that focus they put in between Christmas and New Year's at being a better team at boxing out, getting the body on people, paid off to win the rebounding battle on the road against a team that had a much superior rebounding margin was impressive. And, Gafford was out late in the game, and Mason Jones, who'd been in a shooting funk, shot his way out of it. Those three-pointers he hit at the end of the game were the difference makers. So a very positive start, and now back-to-back home games against Florida and LSU that will go a long way in shaping how this season plays out.
Tom, the free throw shooting, of course, was another topic, even though Arkansas got the victory, 11 of 22. Is not good by any stretch, but it was also the fact that they missed a lot of clutch free throws down the stretch, where you had guys like a Jalen Harris, who's been pretty consistent from the free throw line, but he missed some late. It's just, even though this is a victory, it's still very worrisome for a lot of Razorback fans to know that there's going to be other games this year in conference play where it's going to come down to free throw shooting, and there's not a lot of confidence in this team to get it done.
Exactly. I recall a game against Tennessee a couple of years ago, a road game they pulled off, where Macon was just ice at the line late in the game. It won the game. And to think, because when you start missing them, it seems to me that when you step up late in games, you might be thinking about, man, I've missed these before, or we've struggled in the past. And even Isaiah Joe, I think he only made two of his last four with a chance to, help put it away. But Harris's were the most puzzling because he's been a pretty good free throw shooter. And Joe has too. So, that's still a troublesome part. And it seems like they put all the focus in on rebounding and being a more physical team during the break. And then, the free throw shooting laps back. And I have a feeling they'll have a chance against Florida and LSU coming up that the free throws are going to loom big for them.
Yeah, and obviously with Florida coming in middle of the week, he's talking about if you don't get off to the right start with A&M, this could be a 1-5 start. You got a lot of quality teams on this schedule coming up, beginning with Florida. Who? How surprised were you to see the result of them losing their opener? South Carolina?
Exactly. I was on the move. I was doing something that day and had seen a partial score. I saw a score where Florida was way up. Game was at home. You chalk that up mentally to a win, and then, I was going to the gymnastics meet, and I set up there, and lo and behold, they've lost the game, which just was shocking to me. So I think Arkansas would have been better off if they just held on and kind of won that game in routine fashion. Now they'll be really refocused, and you know, Kayvon Allen from North Little Rock's had some huge games against them in the past, and he's in a bit of a funk. So I'm sure he's gonna key it up and see if he can't get back going against the Hogs on Wednesday night.
Speaking with Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette right now on the Morning Rush. Tom, we've been talking a lot about this game and a lot about this team, obviously. We know what we get with Daniel Gafford. Isaiah Joe can hit some threes. Mason Jones can be that all-around player. We know that what we're capable of getting, but it seems like this team is really needing one more guy, one more piece to step up and be a little more consistent. Luckily, in this game, you had Desi Seals really hit some big shots, especially some threes early in the going. What kind of player or which player are you looking at that you're hoping can get it going and be a little more consistent besides the big names that are in the starting lineup? Maybe it's somebody coming off the bench. Who needs to be more consistent on this team to really elevate this team's play?
Well, I mean, to me, that's a no-brainer. It's Adriel Bailey because he's starting at the four. And, it looked, you know, he had a couple dunks in the previous game. But in this one, he didn't shoot it well again. And he and Gabe and Reggie Chaney sometimes – have trouble, well, the first two in particular, have trouble closing out when they're right, you know, near point-blank range. Both of them got some shots blocked the other night. So Adriel needs some kind of a confidence boost, needs to have a big game where he, you know, shoots five or six, has a couple of dunks, and plays well defensively because he's capable of it. When that four spot rolls around, you know, or comes around, Arkansas will be a much more complete team. And, you know, I was saying that Mason Jones needed to show something late last week and because he had been in a funk and he was in the first half. But without his shooting late in the game there, that could be a bad loss for the Razorbacks. So good to see him come around. As I've said before, there's a lot of pieces on this team that when you kind of put it together can be a really solid team. I mean, a lot better than people thought. But in so many recent games, it's just come down to the wire. In some games they perform well at the end, and others they've either struggled at the line or look like they don't have a good clear focus on game-ending type possessions and haven't pulled them out. So they're still growing. And one thing we know about Mike Anderson teams, they get better as the season goes on, and I suspect that's going to be the case this year too.
Tom, tonight the college football season sadly comes to an end, but with a great game between Clemson and Alabama, Saban with a chance to win an historic title. Who do you like in this game tonight and why?
Well, I think I like Alabama to win it all simply because I think they have a little bit more physicality in the trenches. But having watched the entirety of the Clemson-Notre Dame game, I'm convinced that, well, first of all, I think they're going to cover, Clemson will. And they also just not intimidated. I mean, they know who they are. Conference affiliation and all that doesn't matter to them. What type of, you know, lead-ups, preparations Clemson has had during the course of the year doesn't seem to matter. They know they can stay on the field against Bama. Last year's game against them wasn't as close as the others had been. But I think they believe in Trevor Lawrence, quarterback. I think they feel like they can stay on the field against Alabama, which is sometimes the hardest thing to do is just convert third and twos, third and threes, stay on the field. I don't think they're intimidated by Alabama at all. Dabo certainly isn't. And I hope it's going to be another classic. But I think Alabama's going to probably win it. I wouldn't count out, though, a Clemson win because – you know, Georgia knows how to play Alabama, and I think Clemson knows how to play them too. So quarterback play for Alabama is going to be really, really big. Just the precision that Tua had in some of the passes early against Oklahoma was just really impressive. Dan Enos has done a wonderful job. I think we had a story in the paper on him today about what a great job he's done with the Bama quarterbacks. So I'm expecting him to win.
Well, you mentioned Dan Enos. I just feel like he's a guy that is going to be the next coach that's under Nick Saban that's going to get a head coaching job at some Power 5 school because of what he's been able to do. And a lot of people gave him credit for being able to keep both quarterbacks of Jalen Hurts and Tua as part of the Alabama team when one of them could have transferred. It just seems like, man, he was a really good offense coordinator at Arkansas, and he's probably going to end up being a really good head coach for whoever he ends up being after Alabama, too.
Exactly. You know, his time at Central Michigan – not working with the greatest talent in the world and I just think he's a really sharp guy. I think he's really good at the angles and seeing coverages and knowing how to attack things. Obviously did a great job keeping the two quarterbacks even keeled this year. And I agree. I think he'll get prime, especially if Alabama turns around next year and has another big season. I think he'll be in prime position to get the type of offers like Big Ten offers. I mean, even SEC offers, because of all the Bama assistants that have come through in recent years on the offensive side, he might have the strongest credentials. I mean, Lane Kiffin, you got the kind of X factor of his behavior. Dan Enos, not that way. Solid guy. And, he'll be much in demand, I would say, after this year.
Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, always appreciate you joining us, Tom. Great stuff. Catching up with you on Thursday, my man.
Outstanding. See y'all.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.